discussion where we can actually do more role-playing and scenarios. And we're also working as a group to determine what the process is going to be for those who just, for whatever reason, don't want to make that growth.
Right. Well, how can people find out more or sign up to participate if they are a volunteer or a programmer?
Okay. Well, programmers and volunteers are the same thing because they're all volunteers. It's kind of like chairs or furniture. Okay. So if you are a volunteer, programmer, board, desk, you know, whatever, contact either our station manager, okay, Monica, or you can contact Delphine, or you can contact myself here at the station. And you can sign up on our sign-up sheets. If you're a person of color, be looking for sign-up opportunities and notices from either Pamela Santos, who is staff here, or myself. And then for the rest of it, just stay tuned.
Great. Well, thank you so much. We've been talking with Celeste Carey, and Dell has run out of the room to put on her engineering hat.
Hi.
Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 6 o'clock on the dot. And next is one of your favorite, every first Wednesday, that's Kitchen Table Conversations with Mary Postlewaite. Stay tuned.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor for the Real Cool Film Series at the Clinton Street Theater. The film this month, The Jazz Loft, according to W. Eugene Smith, showing Friday, November 4th at 7 p.m. In the 1950s, dozens of jazz musicians jam night after night in New York loft buildings, including Thelonious Monk and Ronnie Free, not realizing they are being captured in sound and picture by Life magazine photographer W. Eugene Smith, who lives in the loft space next door. Again, that's The Jazz Loft, according to W. Eugene Smith, showing Friday, November 4th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO at the Clinton is our monthly film series at the Clinton Street Theater. This month, we'll have a special live radio play, Calvin Coolidge Goes Crazy, on Thursday, November 10th at 7 p.m. This live radio play is set in 1927, expanding on to the true story of Calvin Coolidge's decision in 1927 to not run for a second term as President of the United States. It also features songs from the era by Jerome Kern, Fats Waller, Cole Porter, Rube Bloom, and more. Again, that's Calvin Coolidge Goes Crazy, Thursday, November 10th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street here in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Stuff's been heavy on my mind and heavy on my chest lately, so look at the world around us, man, it's crashing and it's burning. Got me praying to the Lord for better days and deep discernment. I'm not nosy, I'm observing. I acknowledge I ain't perfect. Trying to turn the other cheek and trying to be the bigger person. But it's easier than said, it's all reflecting in my head. No more dwelling on the past and being worried about what's next. It's like I'm on my last breath and with a noose around my neck. And it's day and age to reach this age, it really is a blessing. Oppression and depression got me stressing with this lesson. Is God trying to tell me something? If he is, then what's the message? I'm trying to get this money for my brother who's a college kid. Crying to myself like thank the Lord God, he really did it. Leading by example wasn't hard, and plus I dated women. Taught them all I know, and 2 years later, I'm an auntie figure. Now what's the difference if I'm sending in this contradiction?
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to another edition of Kitchen Table Conversations. I'm Mary Postlewaite. I have in studio Amber Bailey and my daughter Marshalia Postlewaite. In engineering is Delphine Crescenzo.
Hello, hello.
So today I would like to talk about a couple different things. Number one, I want to talk about marijuana use in teenagers and school-aged children, and some of the policing that's been going on, and a couple of ideas and thoughts that I have on that. So, okay, here's why. There was an incident that happened not too long ago where, you know, and before I get into this, I wanna let everybody know, this is me speaking from my own opinion, okay? I do not, you know, recommend that anybody out there do anything that I say or have done, but this is my own personal belief and whatever. Anyway, so my son got into a little bit of trouble at school the other day. He got caught. Well, he didn't get caught. He got seen blowing some smoke out of his mouth, and they said it was marijuana. Now, I don't know how some people feel about this, but for me, the fact that he was smoking marijuana didn't make me mad. What made me mad is that he ran afterwards. But, you know, I'm an advocate of marijuana. I also am a smoker, but I advocate for my son to smoke too because of his behavior issues. You know, we've gone through school, Marshall, you know this. We've gone through school with him from kindergarten up to eighth grade, and it's nothing but behavior issues after behavior issues, and issues with the teachers and issues with the principals. Doesn't listen to whatever, you know, doesn't do his work, didn't focus. So this year I found out that he smoked, and I, you know, gave him some rules about it or whatever, and, you know, it makes him calm. It calms him down. It makes him focus on things, you know. And so even though I have, you know, there are rules to this whole thing, I've had some backlash on it, of course, which is okay. But for the fact that I see such a change in him, then I wouldn't even condone it happening if he was just out there just doing it to do it. But it's different. So, you know, what do you... I'm not even going to ask you first. What do you think, as being who you are, what are some of the studies that you've heard of when it comes to marijuana and youth or brain development?
Well, that's the big caveat that a lot of, you know, people like throw out, is that, you know, whilst, you know, children and young adults are growing, still their brains are, still developing. So they're going through like last stages of pruning processes and, you know, different types of actual development. Mm-hmm. And the, you know, usage of any kind of drug, you know, inhibits that.
Right.
But with that being said, so does stressful behavior. You know, like, we're talking about children with like really bad anger problems.
Right. Right.
And that has its own, you know, every person is so individual, and every brain develops differently. Mm-hmm. It starts in utero, you know, where, you know, you can go back to a woman's stressful pregnancy. Stress pushes cortisol into the brain. Like, there's mm-hmm. a lot of stuff that, you know, that goes involved with brain development. Mm-hmm. We're talking about kids. I don't want to say kids. These are young adults. These right. are teens that we're talking about, you know.
Right.
Young adults trying to manage getting through the situation they're in now.
Right. I remember when I was a kid, or again... Right, not kid. I remember when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
And how stressed out I was all the time, just with everything going on, life and school and whatever.
And puberty.
Right, and I remember that. But of course, you know, we didn't have the same... We didn't have the same upbringing. You know, my parents was different. Anyway, we won't get into that part. But however, you know... For me, I weigh it. You know, my son has issues. We all know this. So should I take him to the doctor and put him on medication?
You have taken him to the doctor and there's nothing wrong with him.
Right. But, you know, real life there is. Should I push for that? Or should I go ahead and let him, you know, smoke a little bit in the morning before he goes to school so he can focus? Mm-hmm. You know, no, it's not okay that he had it at school. And no, it's not okay that he was smoking it at school. You know, and those are some of the rules that I have. But however, if I weigh the two, I just, you know, I can't see giving my son all of those chemicals in the drugs that the pharmaceutical companies would have. You know, whereas I can just let him hit this weed once or twice and
he'll be good.
He's better. Not cured, not 100% better.
He's manageable.
He's manageable for himself.
I'm talking about being able to make it through
right
the beginning of your day successfully to the end of your day without right having major
anger issues, throwing things, talking bad to the teacher, mm-hmm, just, you know, just being defiant, not wanting to do the work, not focusing, doesn't understand, can't get the right communication with his teachers, mm-hmm, but now he can if I let him smoke a little in the morning.
Right, so if we're talking about development as far as learning goes, how people, you know, will throw up, people who are, you know, on opposing mm-hmm opinions would throw out, you know, well, it's inhibiting development, it's inhibiting, you know, cognitive development, any kind of learning. Mm-hmm. Well, if they're not there and present because they can't handle it, period, mm-hmm, being in the environment, being around others socially, you know, just dealing with all of the pressure, you know, and that's, you know, a lot of people be like, oh, you know, what's so hard about being in school? Well, you don't know.
Right.
You don't know. And you know, think about what was hard for you back in the day is a lot harder for kids nowadays.
Right. It's different nowadays.
They're going through a lot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. The world itself has changed. And mm-hmm, so
we can't have these ideas that we take from one generation to another generation.
They don't work like that.
They don't work like that.
No.
I don't mean to be sarcastic, but it is evolution. We evolve on every level.
Absolutely.
You know, mentally, socially, physically. So, you know, when we find some sort of like substance or something that helps you get through the day, you know, like a lot of people drink caffeine, you know, to...
I'm at fault for that.
Keep up with...
Lots of caffeine.
Keep up with all... I mean, I've got... when I was teaching, I have teaching associates that won't enter their classroom without a cup of coffee in their hand.
Right.
Because, you know what I mean? It just doesn't go well.
Or Shelly,
this is a natural derivative, like, put on this earth, you know, no matter what your source of belief is, the mm-hmm fact is we are here on this rock with these plants.
Right. Right.
So, and they grow naturally.
It's the only one that grows naturally.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is...
Well, we've got, you know, a few others, tobacco, well, and there's a few, like, other things
that grow
naturally.
Yes, but there's
naturally
additives put in it.
Absolutely.
And whatever.
Right.
Or manufactured in some different way, altered.
I see what you're saying, yeah.
To be consumed.
Mm-hmm.
But marijuana does not. You pick it, and you consume it.
And we'll grow it dry. Or, yeah, you grow it and dry it, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, for sure.
But you don't alter it in any way.
We're not giving out the recipe, folks.
You know, right. I'm not giving you the secret on how I... yeah, it's not altered in any way, whereas other manufactured drugs are. And, you know, again, like I said in the beginning, I don't condone all parents say, hey, you know what, Mary on the radio said, hey, I can give you a joint. No, that's not what I'm saying. Not at all. You know, but for me, it was a different alternative for my son.
Well, we're also talking about a young man who wasn't able to actually be in school. This is a child who, he's a young man now, but when he was a child, had to be homeschooled.
Yeah, I took him out and homeschooled him for a year. Yeah, you're right.
So this is not like
something
your first ditch effort is what I'm trying to get at.
No, it's not. And, you know, again, I don't condone kids doing drugs or drinking or smoking pot or whatever it may be. I do not condone that. However, you know, in a regulated amount for myself, and knowing the issues that my son has and I have, you know, I find it a better solution for me and my family, you know, and the things that have gone on in our past and our schooling and behavior wise. So, you know, medicinally, I see where it benefits. I benefit from it myself. You know that I've been in chronic pain a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, I have severe depression, I have anxiety, panic attacks, and other things. And it helps calm me, it helps me eat, it helps me sleep, you know, but I'm also 43 years old and I don't just go out there just to get high, mm-hmm. you know? So I don't believe that it should be used like that, although it is, right. And it's always, you know, that's how it is. But for me and my son, I think that he can, you know, he is 14. However, he's responsible enough now, hopefully, that he's been in trouble and lost everything, to be able to function in school. And you know, people who are against it, they would say, well, you know, he's needing it to function. Okay, so he's needing it to function. Well, if I take my depression pills and my sleeping pills that I take at night or whatever, I need those. Because if I don't have them, I start to get angry and I start to get different things. So if I smoke instead of taking my pills, I can stretch it for a couple days and I don't have to put those chemicals in my body every day. You know what I mean? But mm-hmm. I don't wanna have my son have to depend on a pill. So something that's not natural. You know what I mean? And that's for me. It works for me. It works for him. And yeah. So
and there's other ways. I mean, you know, he doesn't have to ingest it via smoke.
No.
A lot of you know, there's a lot of different ailments that have children, actually young children, ingesting marijuana to you know, live. I mean, a lot of people
on, I think he was maybe four, the kid was like four or five, and he mm-hmm. was having seizures mm-hmm. all the time, and you know, doing things to harm himself, and so mm-hmm. his parents put him on a liquid THC mm-hmm. and he stopped.
A tincture, yeah.
Yeah, the seizures stopped. He stopped hurting himself. He started focusing and actually playing with the toys and, mm-hmm. you know, and for me, that's a wonderful thing. If you can go out into the woods and pick a flower off of a plant and dry it out and roll it, press it, whatever you do to get how you want to consume it out,
right,
and feel better and not have to put toxic chemicals in your body, I think that's a wonderful thing.
Absolutely.
I just do, you know. Dale.
Yes.
What do you think?
Well, there's a couple of things that I wanted to react to, because I think that, you know, the point that you make around, like, the medication that we give, you know, young people, I've worked. And also, I just want to do a disclaimer like you did, because
absolutely.
I work as an educator. I work for several organizations. I've also worked in the past for mental health facilities, you know, both here in town and other places. And I am just expressing my own personal opinions. I'm not representing anybody's, you know, thoughts, opinions,
right.
or anything like that. And as you know, I work with organization, I will always abide to, you know, what is their policies around,
right.
You know, how to engage with young people around marijuana use and drug use, you know?
Absolutely. I speak only for my own,
right.
my own
yeah.
personal.
But that being said, I want to say that also, because I have worked with young people for a long time, I'm also aware of the how much we are medicating young people nowadays, and especially for school behaviors,
right.
for things that are going on in school. And so, as also an educator, I always try to be very innovative working with young people, because I used to be in the school system that didn't work for me, and it's exactly very similar school system, except that we make it worse every generation.
Oh,
I feel
man.
Like less information and less engaging changing on a civic level also for young people. So I think a lot of the time young people are really depressed. They're also bored out of their mind most of the time. That is kind of a consensus. And unfortunately, you know, sometimes also hyperactivity, and you know, hyperactivity now is being linked to all kinds of things and chemicals that are, we've been exposed to for generations, you know, including plastics and things like that. But we have responded to that with, instead of trying to be more flexible in our school system, maybe allow more breaks, allow more, you know, because I've worked with a lot of youth that have different needs, and the schools and the programs for which I work was always, we're always trying to work in finding solutions as to how to engage the youth and still make it a learning experience without having to constrict them so much and also have to medicate our youth so much. So we end up with, you know, a lot of youth that are heavily medicated, sometimes for behaviors that are absolutely behaviors that any youth will have, and or that are culturally maybe not part of the mainstream or the expectation. And that's one of the things that I want to bring up. I completely agree with that. The other thing that I would, I'm just want to say thank you to you, Mary, for you know, bringing this conversation to the forefront, because what I'm also very concerned about when we try to avoid conversations with young people around drug use, and especially marijuana use, is that we're not asking the next question, which is, what leads you to use this?
Right.
Why makes you hate your life so much?
Right.
Or, you know, be so bored that you really don't think that you can enjoy any minute of it without actually engaging?
Right.
Or in feeling high. And unfortunately, you know, marijuana, like any other drugs, you know, you get to a point where you need more and more and more in order to get higher and higher and higher, you know, like it's just how it is. You need to up your consumption of things. And very often, you know, youth will go on to use other drugs because after a while, just smoking weed is not enough anymore. And nobody has ever asked them, like, you know, why is it that you're using this, you know? And when I ask the question, what I hear often is, it's youth use it sometimes to self-medicate. So sometimes even for like having a headache or being, you know, very depressed. And so then I engage with young people in conversations about alternatives to, yeah, okay, that's really good. You have found a coping skill, but here are other things, you know, that you can do maybe to help you with a headache, you know, starting by maybe drinking some water, maybe give yourself a little head massage, lay in the dark, start there. If that doesn't work, take an aspirin. You know, I'm not recommending any you know, brand here, but, you know, I'm just saying, you know, and help, you know, have these conversations, because it is very often, you know, times maybe these conversations haven't been had, you know, with young people. It's possible. And what I've heard also a lot of young people use it is, yeah, they're bored, you know, it's like the main reason. And so then I feel that as adults, we're really afraid of that answer. Because we don't know what to do with it, because the truth is, okay, please tell the truth. Who was not bored in school?
Don't worry, I'll wait.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay, like there's always a level of boredom, you know, and I wonder why that is. Why is it that we cannot create ways that young people can participate, be involved, and engage in their learning process, and at the same time feel that it's not a drag for them to go there every day? I mean, they should be engaged in you know, creating what that school environment is like, because they spend a lot of time in it. And unfortunately, you know, no youth leadership has been part of developing schools in this country, and that's why we have what we have. I mean, on top of, I believe, you know, a conspiracy to really keep us really dumb so that, you know, we end up with things like, you know, the elections that we have right now, you know, for example.
Why don't you throw the number out there, you know, and
if people want to join the conversation.
Yeah, if you want to join this conversation and you're listening, if you're listening and want to join the conversation, call in and let me know your opinion, whether it's for or against. You know, I want to hear what people have to say about this.
Yeah, you know. And keep it clean as you call.
Please.
So the number is 503-231-8187.
8187. Okay. Yeah. You know, myself... as I said, I started taking medication when I was 40 because I just did whatever I had to do to survive through life before that. And when I see kids nowadays and they're out there and they're getting high, and I put that in quotation, high, because nowadays kids don't just get high on marijuana, you know, and I see it all the time. And the reasons behind, I'm like you, I want to know, what are the reasons behind, you know, why you're doing this? You know, my advocacy for marijuana usage has limits. You know what I'm saying? It does. And again, like I said, I'm not trying to tell anybody to go out there and, you know, do drugs. But Marshalia, well, before this, their father, I was speaking to your father, and he had said that he doesn't understand why pharmaceutical companies and doctors are saying kids have like ADHD and things like that. And in his mind, it's to make money, you know? So, and I get it. And I believe that too, to an extent. But I've seen some kids who, you know, they don't focus and they don't, you know, aren't able to be quiet or be still. I've seen that. So, you know, it's kind of a fine line. But I had to explain to him that, yeah, sometimes, you know, that genetically or whatever in their brain, the wires aren't quite the same, mm-hmm. you know, and that's okay. But, you know, what do you think as far as, I mean, you're graduated now, Marshalia, and you have a lot of friends who smoke, some that don't. And what do you see? Do you see it being used as like a crutch, we'll say, to get through the day? Or, I mean, coming from a young adult, what do you think? Do they do it because their parents do? Is it because maybe they're got, you know, sad? Or,
I mean, I guess I could say it's kind of like 50-50. Like, I know the crowd that I hang with a lot, like, whatever, they smoke on a day-to-day basis, and some of them smoke like just to smoke, and some of them, like myself, I don't really smoke to get high. I smoke because, specifically my sophomore year after my accident, I just had really bad back problems, and then I also have fainting spells, and it helps with those things. And so those are the main reasons why I consume marijuana. But I guess I know the difference between using it the right way and the wrong way. You know, like, mm-hmm. a lot of my friends go to parties and they'll get
I got so bummed.
Yeah, like, they'll get a whole bunch of weed and alcohol and whatever else, and they'll go to a party and then they'll smoke it all in like 2 hours, you know? And like, to me, that's not
adolescent to me. What did I right? say earlier? Like, that's adolescent.
That's just being a kid, you know, like, having a kid mindset, mm-hmm. I guess. But I feel like if you're going to use it just because you think it's cool and your friends are doing it, then you need to sit down and stop and
rethink your situation.
Yeah, because it's so not.
We have a caller, Joey.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm okay. Go ahead.
I'm excited to be able to finally speak on KBOO. I've been listening every day. I just want to say that first of all.
Okay, well, thank you.
I love your program. So I was listening earlier to talking about like marijuana use, and as you are mm-hmm. just now. And, you know, there's a lot of different ways to look at it. And as you were just talking about, a lot of people do smoke a lot of it, and it's just, you know, senseless, mm-hmm. you know. But, you know, growing up and being around a lot of it in my area and seeing a lot of people doing not only marijuana but different drugs and mm-hmm. bad drugs and falling off the map, you know, there's a certain kind of role that somebody who, say, distributes it to the people in their community can play. And there's, at least that I've noticed in my experience, a certain person distributing it had been a beacon of light to the people around them. And it's like the kids are going to want to smoke marijuana it's just gonna, they're just gonna want to do it, and they're gonna find it somewhere. And if the person that they find it from leads a good example, and you know, operates in moderation, and doesn't do the bad drugs, and encourages them not to as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way I see it is, you know, there's a certain amount of value to be seen in that, and a value in the role of playing that. There's a lot of responsibility in it.
Mm-hmm. And I agree with you. Yeah, I, you know, I appreciate you calling in and telling me your opinion. Absolutely. As a mother and the person that I am, again, I do believe in responsibility with it. You know, I don't just allow my son or any of my kids to just go out there and do whatever they want to do. And it is regulated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if I may say, I also agree with Joey as to how important it is also to be able, you know, and that's sometimes what I, you know, tell youth. I'm pretty open that I use also. And one of the things that I want them to see is that I'm a successful adult. They really like me. They like a lot of things about me. And when they find out that later, it, you know, it adds that. It's like, wow, you can actually be a successful adult, you know, because the image out there is not just that of the drug dealer or you end up, you know, being also moving on to other drugs, and really, you know, your life is all destroyed, you know. So I agree that if you are an adult that is engaging in, you know, safe use, you know, you know, that it's important, you know, to have open conversations, you know, with youth about it if you feel comfortable about it, you know, so that they can also see, you know, different examples.
Well, this being, I just want to chime in really quick, and you know, being it's now legal for recreational use, you're now, it's, I feel like it's becoming more like open and more open, you know, as far as like you're finding out, like, you know, we've always known nurses, different type of professions, let me just throw out nurses because I'm a teacher as well. So, like, you know, I work with the youth as well. So, you know, different professional people are using, and for various reasons. And, you know, it's not just like a social thing, you know, and that's the stigma behind, you know, reefer madness,
you know?
You know, it's been still, like, from way back, you know, that it's a bunch of, like, you know, crazed hippies smoking and, like, having crazy risque behavior or just, like, being a non-productive member of society.
Right.
I mean, I'm not teaching right now, but I have 4 legit jobs.
Right.
And I do use.
Right.
So,
yeah. I think that's one of my, like, biggest pet peeves when talking about marijuana is when someone's like, oh, it makes you slow.
Right, it categorizes
and
you.
I just, like, I look at them and I'm like, dude, I went to school. Like, I smoked every day before I went to school, before work. I watch kids. I clean. I cook. Like, don't come at me like that.
I just want to say, Joey, thank you for calling in. And again, I appreciate you calling in and giving me your opinion. And if there's anybody else out there who would like to call in,
sure, I can share the phone number again, 503-231-8187. 231-8187.
He did have a good point, too. You know, something that you don't think about is that person who they do go to hook up, you know, to get their pot from is the person they're going to pretty much in their, like, you know, I don't want to say weakest or darkest hour, but it's that time of need. You know what I mean? And as a parent, I have a child who's 20 years old and I have a child who's 7 years old. But as a parent, we always want to, you know, make sure our kids know that we have open door policies, that we want them to talk to us about anything and everything, no matter how gross, how embarrassing, how much you think we're going to be upset, all these things. But oftentimes, you know, think about what you do when you sit at a bar and you go and you, you know, talk about your, it may be your sorrows, it may be your triumphs, but you're talking about them with this total stranger, but you develop a relationship with that person.
Right. Right.
So these kids are developing, or youth, I don't want to keep saying kids, but youth are developing, you know, a relationship with these people who they're hooking up from. They're getting their their pot from.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, to be able to see that person, you know, as a productive member of society rather than, you know, just some guy with a backpack.
The drug dealer.
At the 7-Eleven, you know.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, we had talked before about, you know, we've talked about being open to your kids about sexual orientation. Mm-hmm. We've talked about being open with your kids about sex, period.
Mm-hmm.
And this is another thing that's very important that you're open with your kids about. You'd be surprised the things that come out of your children's mouths or your young adults' mouths or, you know, however it may be, when you come at them at a level that they can understand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm real with my kids. They pretty much know everything in and out. And I do that on purpose. I do that because, like you said, I do want that open door policy. And I don't want to hide nothing from my kids because when they find out elsewhere,
mm-hmm.
and maybe it's different than what I've taught them or haven't taught them, then I don't want them to look at me like, well, gee, Mom, why you didn't say something? Or that's not what you told me, or that's mm-hmm. not how it is. So I try to be as open and honest as possible. And, you know, I was told once before that if my kids smoke marijuana, it's going to be because I do. And,
you know, okay.
That doesn't look. Necessarily have to be. You know, maybe I'm a stressful person, you know, and I can just see how my daughter is stressed out by me a lot.
Me.
You know, I can be demanding and I can be, you know, overbearing sometimes. So I can understand the stressfulness in my household, with especially with, you know, the brother and the sister, and they fight all the time. And, you know,
hey,
I like to help people, and I like people to be happy around me. But when you get lots of people and you get brothers and sisters and they start, rawr, and Mama's got these issues with her brain and she's like, look here, rawr. So I can get, we can, you know, I get it, you know. So we have Tim on the phone. How are you this evening?
Oh, I'm great.
Good.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
I just caught you guys on a commute home and have only caught a portion of the conversation, so forgive me if, you know, some of my comments are irrelevant. But.
Nothing is irrelevant.
Yes. Well, yeah, I smoked off and on heavily and not at all for years on end, so I can attest to the non-addictive nature of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think perhaps the more challenging thing for people, especially if they're younger smokers, is this kind of escaping their little subculture.
Mm-hmm.
And, it, you know, if they're around a bunch of stoners all the time, that kind of thing, that can be a challenge to branch out and escape. So, you know, I would just encourage the younger generations to make sure they don't become stagnant into mm-hmm. kind of one,
right.
One thing. At the same time, you know, ganja is amazing medicine, and I far prefer it over alcohol, but I've
absolutely.
Suffered the... I've suffered the social stigma and negativity associated with it, and just actually had the love of my life. You know, I was still kind of, for the last couple of years, trying to figure out if this person was really my soulmate, and was getting closer and closer, and then all of a sudden, out of the blue, no discussion, you're a ganja smoker, and I don't want to be around you anymore.
Wow.
So that's... discrimination against, you know, cannabis smokers and users is really out there.
Yeah.
And it's very, and I've always been very paranoid and very cautious about who I told about it, and that's unfortunately served me very well in some regards.
Yeah.
In others, it's kind of made me a little bit, I don't want to say spiteful, but just kind of sad that I can't reveal to people who are closest to me, who sit around the table with me, you know, drinking their alcohol all day, you know.
Right.
And I can't go out and have, you know, enjoy smoke. So,
right.
You know, it's that kind of thing that I think it needs to be flipped on its head. We, you know, alcohol is actually a really very damaging drug.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Alcohol has devastated my family.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate you calling in, Tim. Thank you for your opinions, and he's right. You know, I feel the same way.
Yeah.
You know.
Word. All right, you guys take care now. Have a good time chatting. Bye.
Bye. And we have Lisa calling in. Lisa, how are you this evening?
Hi, I'm good.
Good.
How are you?
I'm okay. we're talking about our young adults here. Let me hear your opinion.
I wanted to share my experience being married to someone who sounds a lot like your son.
Mm-hmm.
We've been married for 20 years, and he self-medicates mm-hmm. with marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it does work for him. It's been a good thing mm-hmm. in that respect, but there's been some serious downsides too, such as it's quite expensive.
Yes.
And we've had to make it a priority in our budget, which isn't much, and it's absolutely held us back financially. In addition to that, it makes me feel insecure because our lease explicitly says we can't be using it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know that we're breaking our lease. I often worry that someone might see us or mm-hmm. smell it and, you know, make trouble for us in that way. And then there's a bigger issue too, that my parents live in a state where it's not legal, and I'd really like to move back and care for my parents, but it causes an issue there because I don't want to move my husband to a situation where he can't access this legally, because that's even going to add even more to how insecure I feel
right.
about that. But so it's causing a separation too between me and my parents, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
So there's definitely a lot of downsides to deciding that this is something that you have to have
right.
As a medicine.
I agree. To a certain extent too, you know, and this is what I wanted people to hear. I want people out there to hear that, you know, medicinally it can help greatly, and there are downsides, and for me those downsides could greatly be reduced by, you know, the legalization and the decriminalization of it, you know, because like sure. myself and your husband and my son, it does help, you know, it does. And I advocate for it all over the United States. I think that everybody should legalize it personally, and maybe not for kids, but medically it's legal here, and it's legal recreationally here to a limit here in Oregon, but it does cause financial problems for people.
And as a patient, I mean, I've had my card for many, many years. There's many more strict, you know, restrictions on, you know, how you can get a grower and how, like,
right.
you know, how to get your medicine at an affordable cost,
yeah.
you know. And it is unfortunate that, you know, that our insurance policies and different things like that can't get on board, you know.
Absolutely. And that's
because
a big thing for me, too.
We can pay for, you know, you know, medications that cause
hundreds.
Ridiculous, mm-hmm. numerous, heinous type, you know, side effects, things that are death, suicide, like
right. And then you got to take a pill for that,
right?
But all those side effects.
But wait, if you act now, we have another pill.
Right.
Thanks for letting me join the conversation.
Thank you. I appreciate you calling
Thank
in.
You,
and
good night.
Yeah. Good night. Yeah. So, you know, again, yeah, there are downsides to it. There's downsides basically to everything. But, you know, like the previous caller before Lisa, Tim, I would much rather, you know, see somebody smoking pot than going out there and drinking and getting in a car and drinking and driving. So we have another caller. Iza, are you there? Good evening. Oh, I guess not. Okay, well, if you are still listening, call back. I'd like to hear your opinion on things. So, you know, yeah, like I was saying, to my knowledge, I've never seen any one particular document that said all this tragedy happened from somebody getting high on marijuana solely.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So
I think there was a couple of instances in Colorado because they, at first when the law passed, they had no restrictions on edibles.
Oh.
So first of all, everybody could eat edibles recreationally, and also they had no limitation as to how much THC edibles could have.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a few people that passed out from overconsumption.
That's kind of unfortunate.
Right, but it is misinformation, you know, and I think that that's what's important. I mean, there's a lot of states right now that are actually trying to pass laws,
yes,
as, you know, propositions, like California is one. And yeah, California is saying that, you know, they will completely decriminalize and free everybody who has ever been incarcerated for that.
For marijuana,
that's
yeah.
huge.
That is huge. And, you know, my whole life I've always thought, what? I don't get it. You know, you can tell people that they can go drink. You can, you know, tell drug addicts that they can get free treatment, but if you smoke pot, then you know, it's like, oh good, Isa, we're back on the phone. How are you this evening?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good.
I heard a couple things that I wanted to agree with and maybe add on to.
Okay.
As of recently been a youth come up in Portland in that culture, I just want to say that, like, people worry a lot about, I heard, the stagnation maybe of the youth if they're just smoking pot. I come from a place where a lot of people have experienced oppression and trauma, and using marijuana to cope with some of those symptoms has enabled them to be more active and be more radical and attend events and actions that they would not otherwise be able to attend. It can promote functionality and radical activism within the youth as well.
Absolutely. I'm glad that you called being a young adult yourself and being in that type of environment, because as you, my children, and myself were, well, my kids were raised in that type of environment. So, you know, hearing that from a young adult like yourself, it makes an impact on people of my generation and older, to know that, you know, this is something that isn't like, you know, like my daughter said, going out and we just want to go out and party. It's not always that, you know. I appreciate that. You said there was something else that you would like to talk about?
Oh, yeah. The other thing is just that on the financial aspect of things, that it just doesn't make sense that other poisons would be covered with the pharmaceuticals that are killing people. And in Oregon, it's legal to grow this medicine for yourself, and it's legal to grow it for other people who need it medically. So that can be a bridge to that. Now that you're allowed to grow outdoors, it can be really cost-effective. In fact, it can be free except for the water.
Right. Right. Now that the legalization is coming around, that's absolutely true. And I'm with you there. You know, the pharmaceutical companies want their money. And it's unfortunate, especially when we have 100% natural drugs that don't have all those chemicals in it. And they expect us to feed this to our children. You know,
absolutely.
Well, I appreciate your call-in. Thank you very much for your opinion. We're going to take a small break. And if you want to call in afterwards, we'll give you the number when we come back. We're going to go to Joss Stone, Right to Be Wrong. Got a right to be wrong.
just leave me alone.
We're back. We're in here grooving to Joss Stone. Hey, got a right to be wrong. Right on. So our conversation is about marijuana use in our young adults and, you know, how us as adults see and view things about the legalization and the usage of marijuana. So we've heard a couple people call in and give us their opinions, and I would love for more people to call in real quick before we go off air in 10 minutes.
So the number to call is 503-231-8187.
Okay, so yeah, go ahead and give us a call and let me know what you're thinking, whether it's for or against the usage of marijuana for adults or even young adults. As I've been talking about younger adults and using for medicinal purposes, or, you know, how I feel about it. And again, for those of you who've just tuned in, I do not condone drug use in anybody, especially children. But my opinion is that marijuana usage is different, in the fact that it has so many different medicinal uses, and I've seen the differences in using and not using in different people, whether they be young adult or grown adults.
I feel like that could be a show in its own self, just the fact that, you know, it should not be classified anywhere near any of the other drugs.
Right.
You know, I don't see
where they could classify marijuana at up there with crystal meth.
Right.
I mean, this not the same at all. Mm-hmm. And I think if we get more education out there about it, mm-hmm. and we get more people calling and talking about it and opening up to those who don't understand, I think that we'll see more positive change. Hello, we have a caller, Nate Nevin. How are you this
Hello.
Evening? Hey.
I am doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for having this conversation. I definitely think it's necessary for more people to understand the truths behind marijuana use and everything that you guys are talking about, so thank you for that. Mm-hmm. I guess my comments really are, I'm a 37-year-old male. I've been working, you know, for 20-some-odd years of my life. I manage a very successful business here in Portland in the restaurant industry, and I think it's just, you know, funny when you hear all the stigmatas and everything about, you know, it making people, you know, not intelligent and slowing them down and mm-hmm. doing all these things when, in fact, you know, myself included, very successful people partake in marijuana, including, you know, people like Richard Branson and, you know, Bill Gates and extremely
Absolutely.
Successful people. So the fact that, you know, there's still all these lies about it, you know, stemming from way back at the, you know, Reefer Madness, as you guys were mentioning earlier,
yeah.
It's just, you know, complete and utter falsities. And I think more people need to understand that and realize that it's not as bad as everybody makes it seem like it is.
Right. We need to push this black cloud over this, over marijuana
right.
away. It's just...
Yeah, exactly. I agree.
Exactly. You know, and when you look at the fact that it fuels, you know, creativity in musicians and artists and opens people's minds to, you know, new ideas and new ways of looking at things, I personally think that's one of the main reasons why they have tried to keep it away from people, is because they understand if more people are under the influence, that people are going to be a lot more aware of what's going on around them and the
the absolute nonsense that is our society as a whole, really.
Absolutely. I feel the same way. My engineer is in here laughing. She thinks it's great.
I'm kind of cracking up.
This is great.
And it's also why, young people, do it, in that way.
Yeah. So I appreciate your opinions and you calling in and let us know. I think that education is what it is. You know, we need to get more people to understand that this is not, the same as those hard drugs. You know, you can legally drink, and in some places, drink on the street.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
Alcohol has devastated my family.
Right.
So I mean, I don't even drink alcohol because of the devastation it's caused in my family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny, you never hear of anybody getting high and going and getting in a fight.
Right, right. If anything, you're going to get sleepy, happy, hungry.
Right, exactly. You're just walking around giving people hugs or something.
Right. Hey, you have a slice of cheesecake there? I mean, yeah, it's a heart lightening. Is that the right term I'm trying to say? It lightens your heart. Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely. Wonderful. So, thank you for calling in.
You're welcome. Thank you again.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. Man, I've heard so many times, it kills your brain cells.
Yeah.
Oh, it does this. Oh, it does that. Oh, it's so bad. So bad. No.
And it's part of a myth, and that's why I say, youth also do it, because then, they think they do it and that it's cool, and then
right.
they kind of miss out on not only just the culture, but also the awareness of what's come. I think that's why this conversation is so valuable, and the fact that you are okay, Mary, being able to share about your experience and how you open with your kids doing it, your teenagers doing it, around you, with you, etc. Because I think that, it is that stigma and that idea that it will, ruin your life. And at the same time, it creates then this separation, mm-hmm. and young people end up, romanticizing,
right.
know, the whole thing. But unfortunately, especially, the a young lady who called in and talked about, when you're talking about communities that are oppressed, these communities are very often also criminalized as part mm-hmm. of the oppression, so we end up having youth that adopt, behaviors that they glorify, yet this is the same kind of behavior that gets them in trouble all the time.
Right.
And that's why I believe we have to bridge the gap and engage in conversations.
Absolutely.
With youth also.
Yeah, conversation is big, and communication with your young adults and your teenagers and your younger kids is the key, and you must have these conversations with your child. You must. It's not a matter of, I don't know how. I'm scared. Stop it. Stop. I don't know how. Stop being scared. These are conversations that you need to have with your children. And listen to what they have to say, because, I got a beautiful daughter right here who graduated. I didn't graduate. I got my GED. I was all kinds of bad when I was young. I got a beautiful daughter here who graduated high school. She's got wonderful work ethic. She's a beautiful person. She's a social butterfly, and I don't see laziness. I don't see none of that in her. You know what I mean? The stigmata of, she smokes pot, mm-hmm. and so she's lazy. That's not, it doesn't pertain to her.
You remember that commercial where the girl literally melts down the couch?
Yes.
Yeah, I just was like,
so
I understand, not wanting to necessarily encourage it. It's not for every person. Mm-mm. That's not what we're saying here.
No, absolutely not. And I don't condone all kids going running up there and going and getting the blunt and smoking. However, I am here to say that it's not necessarily a stigmata.
Mm-hmm.
That all the time. It's not textbook all the time. So,
right.
Okay. So, we're going to have to save the rest of this conversation for another time. We're going to have to wrap it up here. I want to thank everybody for coming in and talking about this. And I want to thank all my callers and Dell for joining in the conversation.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we got to go. And I'll be back next month, excuse me, and we'll talk more about this. So you guys have a wonderful evening. And this is my good friend, Hennessy. Let me say it correctly. And I love all you guys. You are why I do what I do. Thank you. Have a good evening.
Look at the world around us, man, it's crashing and it's burning. Got me praying to the Lord for better days and deep discernment. I'm not nosy, I'm observant. I acknowledge I ain't perfect. Trying to turn the other cheek and trying to be the bigger person. But it's easier than said, it's all reflecting in my head. No more dwelling on the past and being worried about what's next. It's like I'm on my last breath and with a noose around my neck. And it's day and age to reach this age, it really is a blessing. Oppression and depression got me stressing with this lesson. Is God trying to tell me something? If he is, then what's the message? I'm trying to get this money for my brother who's a college kid. Crying to myself like thank the Lord. Lord God, he really did it. Leading by example wasn't hard, and plus I dated women. Taught them all I know, and 2 years later, I'm an auntie figure. Now what's the difference if I'm sinning in this contradiction? Trying to right my wrongs, but I go left and miss the whole picture. Hazy vision, cause I'm blazing, hanging in the trenches. Praying that I make it, yes, they're living in the same conditions. That's far-fetching, double-minded, having double standard. Double temptation in my face, my kryptonite is damaged. They say, if you knew better, you would do better. But I know I'm still living up and do whatever. My daddy's gone and my mama, she's my backbone. Like every time I fall off, I always go back home. Headed down the road of truth or death up in my rear view. It's time to make a change, the end of days is coming up soon. Raised to be a Christian, but was bred to be a goon. Was taught from the streets, but I never learned from school. Now it's time to pay my dues with my head held high. Cause in reality, we all just living to die. So I'm 10 toes down, trying to steer from my demise. Steadily claiming that I'm cool, but you can see it in my eyes. Hey, as time flies, I think I'm learning from my every move to make it in this life, you gotta sacrifice and lose. That's the truth. If I'm lying, you can stop me now. I'm standing tall, so you can never ever break me down.
Hey there, the time is 6:59. You're tuning the KBOO Portland. It's Wednesday, 11/2/2016. I have a few community announcements for you, and then we're gonna get on to your Wednesday episode of Hard Knock Radio. Thank you for tuning in.
Tell me who is. You couldn't judge me if you wanted. Lead the judging to him. I know I'm going on the whim to get the.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Liberian Gospel Music Awards on Saturday, November 5th at 2 p.m. at PCC Cascade Auditorium in Portland. The Liberian Gospel Music Awards ceremony is dedicated to fostering an appreciation for the historical development of Liberia gospel music artists. Again, that's the Liberian Gospel Music Awards, Saturday, November 5th at 2 p.m. at PCC Cascade Auditorium, 705 North Killingsworth in Portland. More information about the performers and schedules can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.